Ephesians chapter number 6 this morning, and we're in a series entitled Passionate Parenting. This is week number 3. We've talked about being an understanding parent. Last week we talked about being an obedient parent. Today we're going to talk about being an authentic parent. One day a little girl was sitting and watching her mother as she was doing the dishes there at the kitchen sink, and she suddenly noticed that some of her mom's brown hairs were beginning to turn white. And she looked at her mom and she said, "Mom, why are some of your hairs turning white?" And her mother looked at her and said, "Well, honey, every time you do something wrong and make me cry or unhappy or sad, one of my hairs turns white." And the little girl kind of saddened by that thought and thought about her behavior and looked at her mom and looked at that head of hair and then thought a little while longer and said, "Mom, why are all of Grandma's hairs white?" And just trying to figure out exactly how it all worked. And you know, sometimes we, when we think of parenting, can think quickly of what needs to improve in the life of our child. And there's no doubt for that. And we have a role in that. But primarily, we've been focusing these first few weeks on our life and the importance of setting the right example and being the right father and mother in their life is so significantly important in their development. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 4, our launching pad for this morning, says this: "And you fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord." And we are commanded not to provoke our children to wrath, but to bring them up, to train them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. How many have ever played laser tag before? Let me see where you are. We took our family to play laser tag. This has been some time ago, and it's not really cheap playing laser tag. We have a family of 6, but I forget, we were celebrating something, and so we went to go play a round of laser tag. And so they take you into this room, and they have an attendant, or a game master, as they're called. And this person is there to make sure you get your vest on and get your gun and teach you how to use it and then tell you the rules. You're not allowed to run. You're not allowed to tackle people. You're not allowed to climb over the apparatuses. And, you know, there's all these rules that you're supposed to follow when you play laser tag. Well, it was our family, and I can't remember if it was Joseph and I against all the girls or if we got one of them on our side, but it was something like that. And man, Joseph was into it. He was ready to go shoot everybody. He was really excited to kind of get back at his older sisters at this opportune time playing laser tag. So we got all the instructions, and the lady that was giving us all the instructions, she said, "Now listen, I'm going to be in there, and I'm going to tell you, you know, what you can and cannot do. And if you need help, you let me know. And if you're breaking the rules, I'll let you know." And she got us in there, and we got to our sides and our bases. And then she said, "Go." And man, we had a great time. We were briskly walking around, and we were playing laser tag, and we were doing all kinds of fun stuff. And we got done with that game, and the lights kind of came back on. And Lydia was just standing there, just sobbing. And everybody felt bad. We didn't know maybe if we all shot her too much or, you know, if we kind of took it out on Lydia or whatever, you know. And Susanna went over to her and just said, "Lydia, what happened? Why are you crying?" And she said, "Mom, my gun's broke. My gun doesn't work. I couldn't shoot anybody the whole game." And we went over to the lady and we said, "Man, is her gun broke, or how does it happen?" And the lady looked at it and she said, "Well, honey, you've got to hold right here with this hand, and then you got to hold with this hand, and this is how it works." And she forgot you had to have both hands. And so she spent the whole time being shot and couldn't shoot anybody. And she didn't enjoy that game. And so then, you know, the heart in your dad comes out and it's like, "All right, well, let's go play for another round and try to get this done and try to have some fun with it." But, you know, in the midst of that, there is someone there at that establishment that is responsible to teach people how to play the game, to equip them to play the game, and then to be in the arena to make sure that they're playing the game the way it should be played. And just as that person, that game master, that staffer has that responsibility, so you and I have a responsibility. We have a responsibility to be an authentic parent that is providing biblical authority, that is providing safety, leadership, and care for our family. Now, there's no doubt that family is under attack in our culture and society today. But a sad fact is that in many families, there is no authority. There's a father, and there is a mother, and there's a biological connection, but there is not the presence of a biblical authority that is so desperately needed by the children in today's American homes. And this morning, I want us the best we can in the time that we have to examine from the Word of God, what is an authentic parent and how do they provide this biblical authority? I want us to know, first of all, this morning, the essence of authority. The essence of authority. What is it that we speak of when we talk about biblical authority? Well, notice with me, first of all, the root meaning of authority. The root meaning of authority. And as we study the meaning of authority, we're going to find the relationship between the word authority and authentic. The word authority comes from the early Latin root, signifying something that came from a factual or original source and settling an argument. And then the word authentic comes from early Greek roots, meaning original, genuine, or fictitious. So in present-day secular culture, the word authority in our modern day often has a negative connotation. When you hear about authority, or this person is in authority, or this person is under authority, often it's a negative connotation. And maybe the mantra that we would hear is, well, question authority, question authority. And the idea there being kind of a rise of a rebellion. But in actuality, when considering the root meaning of the word authority and being authentic, questioning authority should be a positive thing. In other words, questioning authority should be going to an authentic source of truth. By the way, you and I have to be an authentic source of truth in our home. You say, how do we be an authentic source of truth? Be in this book right here. Because this is the source of truth. This has, I was talking with somebody this morning, I'm trying to remember the conversation, but it was Rebecca, and they said, this person's got this question, and this question, and this question. And I was thinking in my mind, the Bible has all the answers to those. Thank God we have God's Word, because we can just go to the Bible and say, thus saith the Lord. So how can we be that authentic source of truth? Be a student of the book, because the Bible indeed has the truth and has the answers. And then if they will go to the authentic source of truth, and then they can get authoritative answers. Sometimes in American homes, parents struggle to give authoritative answers. Now, I'm not talking about how loud can you yell the answer. I'm talking about the substance of the answer. I'm talking about the answer being authoritative because it has substance, because it's rooted in something bigger than you and I. And there I'm talking about God's Word, that we've been a student of God's Word, we know what God's Word says, we know how it applies to this situation, and when questioned, we can provide that biblical authority that our children so desperately need. Authority requires that you and I are authentic, that you and I are studying the Word of God, and then we are providing biblical answers. That's the root meaning of the authority in which we speak. But then notice, letter B, the real manifestation of this authority. And what is the pattern? Who is the example? Well, Jesus Christ is the ultimate and eternal authority. The Bible says in Matthew 28, and Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth, and all earthly power flows from him and is ordained by him and is under him. And he is the head of all things. The Bible says in Colossians of the Lord in chapter 1, verse 16, for by him were all things created that were in heaven and that are on earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him and for him. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist. For he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. Jesus Christ is ahead of all things. He is the authority of all things. He is the pattern and the example of the authority that you and I are to have. So the source of all power and the source of all truth, the source of all authority is Jesus Christ. And you and I, striving to be passionate parents, parenting according to biblical principle, then must strive to let Jesus Christ flow through you and I to the benefit of those under our care. In other words, one of the greatest things you and I can do as a mom or a dad is have a real relationship with Jesus Christ where Jesus flows through us to the benefit of our children. Where we are guiding them as Jesus would. We are living before them as Jesus would. We are teaching them as Jesus would. And we are providing this biblical authority, this authentic pattern for them to follow after. Now, in light of this thought, the authentic parent, this biblical authority, modeling the life of Christ, what does that look like? And aren't you grateful as a student of the Word of God that whenever God requires something of you and I, He teaches us how to do it? I'm so thankful that God doesn't say, Gabe, do this, and I got to go figure it all out. God says, these are all things I want you to do, but I've written them down right here. I'm going to help you figure them out and manifest them in your life. And so let's look secondly then at the expressions of authority. What kind of authority is the Lord talking about? And for sake of clarity and for time, I want us to look at three styles of parenting and contrast them according to biblical principle. Number one, or letter A, the passive parent. The passive parent. Now, the passive parent basically relinquishes authority to the child. Proverbs 29:15. The rod and reproof give wisdom, but a child left to himself bringeth his mother to shame. Now, the passive parent is the parent who is fostering resentment and rebellion in their child because their typical posture in this relationship is, I'm too busy, I'm too tired, I'm too distracted, and you really are an intrusion in my life. So you do whatever you want, I'm going to do what I want, and that's kind of the way it is, the passive parent. The child has the authority, the parent's too busy to exercise theirs. Then you have letter B, the oppressive parent. The oppressive parent. Now this parent is on a power trip. They have swallowed the authoritarian pill, and it's a carnal authority. It's expressed with overbearing demands. It's loud in its response and communication and harsh. It's very stern. And by the way, some of you know me and we're getting to know each other. And I believe in a strong, authoritative presence in the home. I believe that children ought to know this is what we're going to do. There was no question in the rural household this morning whether or not we were going to church. Because it's Sunday and we go to church. Amen. That's set. There's no debate. There's no question. I mean, if somebody's dying, we'll go to the hospital, then we'll come to church. But we're going to go to church. And I'm teasing a little bit, but that's about the way it was when I grew up anyway. So we're going to be in church. And, you know, my dad said, son, are you sick? Yes, sir. I'm throwing up. Well, you ought to feel better. Let's go. You know, and that's the way it was. So anyway, but sometimes in this role, in this fleshly role, it's an authority that is ruling or managing behavior, but it's not from a biblical perspective or from a heartfelt perspective. And so it's breeding resentment and rebellion in the heart. It's saying to the child, I don't care about you. I just care about me. And I want to have control, and I want you to do what I say. Now, remember what we read in our text, though. The Bible says, and ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath. So, successful parenting is not in an end, will my kids do what I say. That's part of the means, but that's not the totality of it. Because an oppressive parent can accomplish the goal of, my kids do what I say. I mean, they hup too. Well, that's great. And by the way, we've been doing this with the boys in the baseball, but we taught our kids from when they could do little things. When do we obey? First time. How do we obey? With a smile. And what do we say? Yes, sir, and yes, ma'am, I'd be glad to. I mean, we've taught them that for years. Why? Because in our home, we expect our kids to obey the first time. We don't say it twice. You say, my goodness, you guys are terrible parents. No, we're just trying to prepare for a relationship with God. We serve a God who doesn't like to ask twice. We serve a God who wants a willing vessel that when He speaks, we obey. Amen. And that's my job, is to prepare them for that relationship. And so it's the first time. And yet, as they mature in their development and under our authority, we are to provide for them instruction. So we have to be careful of the passive parent, there's nothing, but the oppressive parent, it's too much. So we're looking then, letter C, for the authentic parent. Now this parent seeks to be genuinely like Jesus Christ in the expression of biblical authority, strong in truth, but also tender in love. John 1:14, where it says of the Lord, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Jesus Christ was full of grace and full of truth. In Ephesians, we see that we're not to lead them to anger, but to bring them up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. And so we have to consider this morning, what kind of parent are we? Are we passive? Are we mostly leaving our children to themselves, their rooms, their devices, their friends? Is that where we fall this morning? Are we oppressive? Do we basically have no opportunity for nurturing the relationship, but rather we're just ruling and managing and thinking for ourselves, and when they buck that, we basically just shout them down? Or are we authentic? Are we striving to live as Jesus would live? Are we Christ-like in setting the boundaries for our home, providing the example, and charting the course? And the goal, obviously, is to be an authentic parent, providing biblical authority, modeling after the pattern of Jesus Christ, and taking authority, dominion over the home, with humility, and using it as a platform to train our children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. So how do we do that? Let's notice, thirdly, the qualities of biblical authority. So what are the qualities of biblical authority? What does it look like? And we're going to look at nine of them, and I'm well aware of the time, so we're going to fly fast. I'm going to talk fast. Letter A, biblical authority provides order. 1 Corinthians 14:40, let all things be done decently and in order. Now without order, everything comes unraveled. Disorder leads to chaos emotionally, relationally, and spiritually. And sadly today, many homes function in a continual state of chaos because they are in a state of perpetual disorder. In other words, there's no authority in the home because there's no order. It's just nothing is orderly. Susanna was asking me last night, she said she's going to do a Q&A tonight with all the college girls, and one of the questions that they're going to ask her is, what are the top five things a lady ought to do in preparation for marriage? And I had some great answers last night, by the way, for that. But anyway, one of the things I was telling her, I said, you know, they ought to be able to manage a home. Because something a man is looking for is someone who can come alongside and manage a home. I'd like to come home to a clean home. I'd like to come home to a nice meal. I'd like to open the door at home and hear four kids say, "Daddy's home!" and come running. And by the way, I have all those things and more, and I'm blessed. And I'm blessed because I have a Proverbs 31 wife. And I'm blessed because there's order. And we've got to have order. It brings calm to the home. Letter B, biblical authority is meek. Philippians 2:8. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. This heart attitude must reside in you and I as parents, and we must have a heart that says, I'm entrusted with authority by Jesus Christ to bring His power and His love into the expression of the relationship that I have with my children. I'm nothing. He's everything. Man, what a privilege it is to be a mom or a dad. Do your kids know that you feel blessed to have them? Do you wrap your arm around your little girl and say, I cannot believe God gave you to me? Do you look at your son and tell him the dreams that you have and what God can do with his life? Is there a humility about our parental authority? Is there the expression of how blessed we feel to be in the position that God has gifted us with? Letter C, biblical authority provides a protective environment. Matthew 6:32 says, for your heavenly Father knoweth that you have need of all these things. And a good parent is understanding that this is a need in the heart of our child and that we need to provide this caregiving, protective environment for them. We've said it often in our His Design class and we'll continue to teach and to preach from this perspective because it's biblical. Your children need you. Now, we live in a culture and a society where the fabric is constantly telling us the opposite. Bring them to preschool, bring them to school, bring them to aftercare, bring them to night care, bring them to morning care. Let us have your kids all the time. You never need to be with them. We'll take care of it for you. That's not the biblical model. The biblical model is that God gives mom and dad kids for mom and dads to be the parents, for mom and dads to train. For mom and dad to sit down and teach them the Word of God, and while they rise us up and while they lie us down and while they walk us by the way and in every avenue of life to teach them the things of God. And we want to make sure, Lord, help me to be an authentic parent providing biblical authority because it is a protective environment that our children desperately need. Letter D, biblical authority provides the right model, models the right behavior. Biblical authority models right behavior. Authentic leadership says, watch me. Before I expect you to behave in a certain way, I will model it for you. Philippians 4:9 says, those things which you have both learned and received and heard and seen in me. Let's say those four words together. Ready? And seen in me, do. And the God of peace shall be with you. What was the boundary, or what was the prerequisite before the people learning would do until they saw it? What's the prerequisite for our children really succeeding in life? Oh, we've got to teach. But they've got to see it in us. Amen. They've got to see it in us. And a biblical authority from an authentic parent is providing that right behavior, the model of it. Letter E, biblical authority nurtures the right behavior. Kerry Schmidt said, think of it this way. As a parent, I will not expect of you what I have not taught you. If I have taught you, then I will expect it. You cannot hold someone accountable for behavior you have not taught. So I have to model it, but then I have to teach it and expect them to follow it. Now, oftentimes there is behavior happening in our children that we're not okay with or that we're not comfortable with. But the question is, have we trained them any different? Have we taught them? And there's two schools of thought here. First of all, there is the carnal parenting process, and it looks like this. We demand behavior out of our children, and when they fail to meet that demand, we get angry, and then we repeat step one even louder. We just demand it in a more demonstrative way until we get our way. But the biblical, spiritual parenting process is like this. Number one, do it yourself. Provide an example. Number two, teach. Train. Teach them how to do it. Son, here's how you make your bed. Sweetheart, here's how you pick up your bathroom. Here's what modesty is. Son, here's how you shake a hand. And you grab it firmly. And you look right in the eye. And we teach. And we train. Here's how to go for a job. Here's how to talk to the authority. And so forth. We teach it. Then we expect. We expect them to do what we have taught. And when they do, we reward it. We reward it. We make a big deal of it. Catch a kid doing something right. Make a big deal of it. And they'll do it again. And then when failure occurs, biblically deal with it. And then go back to step one. We're going to talk about biblically dealing with those things in a future lesson. But this is a spiritual parenting four-step process. Letter F. Biblical authority is motivated by what's best for you. Now listen, as moms and dads of the room this morning, we all want our kids to be happy. But did you know that God's first goal for the life of our children is not happiness? It's holiness. And sometimes as a mom and a dad, we are going to have to do what is best for our children, even when it doesn't make them happy. And sometimes when it comes to the spiritual arena of that, we just so struggle with it. But none of us struggle when our kid walks in the room and none of us can breathe. Because of the stench coming off of this body, because of the lack of time in the bathtub, and going to Junior and saying, Bub, let's get in there and get a bath, man. We got to be able to breathe tonight. And none of us have a problem forcing our kids to do something they don't like to do when it's in their best interest or when it's something we desire in an arena like that. But when it comes to being in church or reading God's Word or having the right testimony or doing something like that, all of a sudden we kind of get a little skittish and we say, well, I don't really know where my role is. Your role hasn't changed. The scriptural, biblical goal is holiness. And God provides a mom and a dad in the life of a child and a preteen and a teenager to teach holiness. And there will be times in life where holiness trumps happiness. Why? Because sin has pleasure for a season. If the measure of good life was happiness, then we would all be in sin this morning. Because sin in its beginning is pretty happy. People having a lot of fun. People doing a lot of things. But it doesn't end that way. Sin has pleasure for a season, but the end thereof, the ways of death. So God teaches moms and dads to have the long view and to say, you know what, this party, this event, this friend's house, it might be fun for a season. But as I look at the long view, I don't know that it's going to bring about holiness in your heart. And I'm having some reservations, and I think we're not going to do that. And that's the role of an authentic, biblically authoritative parent. Letter G, biblical authority implores right discipline. Right discipline is corrective and restorative. It's not merely punitive. Right discipline is controlled, it's premeditated, and it is designed for the spiritual growth. Now, I'm going to get into that more thoroughly down the road. Letter H, biblical authority expects responsibility. If you and I are modeling and teaching responsibility, then we can expect to see our children grow in their responsibility. If we're authentically providing this biblical authority in the lives of our children, we're going to see in their life a development of getting their own homework done, walking with God on their own, doing their chores without being asked, having a commitment to courageously making the right choices and living for God without us being there to look over their shoulder. That's a direction we're going because we're trying to prepare them to live a life that pleases and honors God without us right there by their side. Letter I, biblical authority earns respect. You and I could demand the respect of our children, but we really shouldn't have to because respect is a natural byproduct of living respectably. I'll say that again. Respect is a natural byproduct of living respectably. When you and I are providing the right example because we're committed to be an authentic parent. By the way, an authentic parent is not a perfect parent. None of us are going to be perfect. We're going to authentically model both trying to do right and picking ourselves back up and trying to do right again. The just man falls seven times, yet riseth up again. Authentic is not perfection. Don't misunderstand. Authentic is just, I'm going to try to do right with God's help to the best of my ability. And living that way will buy the respect, or earn the respect, rather, of your children, which is a huge platform for investment in their life. So as we close, number four, the taking of authority. You say, how do I implement this authority in my home this week? Letter A, authority is simply leadership. This ultimately boils down to your leadership. It's as a parent stepping up and leading in your home. And I just want to say to every mom and dad in this room, your children need you to lead. They need you to roll up your sleeve and get involved in their life. They need you to put this down and make them put theirs down and talk and get involved and see how they're doing and work through things. And we've got to take, as an authentic parent, this role of biblical authority by taking the lead in our home. The Bible says in meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves. The one that's wandering, the one that's confused, needs someone in their life providing instruction. Amen. It's not the job of the child to provide that. It's the job of the parent to provide that. Amen. You say, Brother Rule, I don't even know about this area. Then go figure it out. And by the way, it might be tech, it might be something. Listen, if your child has something that you think is gaining access to something that's displeasing the Lord and you know nothing about it, suspend their ability to have it till you can figure it out. And say, you know what? I got to figure this whole thing out because I need to provide leadership because I've got a responsibility in this home. Letter B, leadership will require boundaries. As you and I assume that role of leadership, inevitably we will then enforce some boundaries and some rules. Oftentimes parents are slightly hesitant to provide these boundaries. They feel like I might box my kids in too tight and eventually they'll break out or they'll want to run or they'll want to do something else. And yet we've been reminded before that rules without relationships breed resentment and rebellion. And in a healthy relationship, the rules are the protective boundaries or guardrails that relationship has to have. And in healthy relationships, the rules are secondary to the heart connection of the relationship. You mean, what I'm saying is when kids, when children, when preteens, when teenagers rebel and they say, oh, all the rules, all the things I have to do, all the things I cannot do, what they're really saying is this: I never understood the rules. I never understood the benefit of the rules, and I never had the relationship I longed to have before the rules came into existence. One of the greatest things some of the moms and dads could do in the room this week is take a day off work this week, pull the kids a day out of school this week, and just go spend some time together. And just say, you know what? We're pushing pause on life because we've got to get connected. We've got to have a relationship. We have to have a heartfelt connection. A strong relationship then will have these boundaries. In my marriage, there are boundaries. A good marital boundary for me is not to spend time alone with other women. Why? Because I am married. Now, this boundary does not make my marriage strong, but it certainly protects my marriage so that it can be strong. And it's not that we're giving our children rules or boundaries to somehow make our relationship better. No, we're putting rules and boundaries in place to protect our relationship so it does stay strong. And that's got to come fundamentally from a heartfelt, a burning desire in your heart that understands my kids need me. And I've got to be in their life. And I've got to have the kind of relationship where I have their heart and I'm protecting it as much as I possibly can. And a Christ-like home, biblical authority, is a beautiful blend of truth and grace. It's the balance of a loving relationship with beneficial boundaries. Passionate parents understand and humbly accept and graciously express this authentic biblical authority. They embrace the role of the game master, telling people how to do it, making sure they do it right. They're not afraid to be firm, but in a time of confusion, they're not afraid to provide that love and safety to their child as well. As we think about the relationship with our children this morning as we close, do we have boundaries? Are they benefiting from the blessings of those? Are we lovingly providing biblical authority in their home? Our children are going to face a lot of things in this world. And what they've got to have to succeed is a mom and a dad with love, providing authority for them. And may you and I strive. Lord, help us to be an authentic parent, lovingly providing biblical authority. Heavenly Father, we sure love you. Thank you for your word. Lord, thank you for our class this morning. It is so much fun to be in a room full of people who want to grow. And Lord, I'm so thankful for the environment and spirit of our His Design class. A place where we come wanting to encourage one another. How can we become better Christians? Better husbands and wives, better fathers and mothers. And Lord, I pray today as we consider the home that we will strive to be authentic in our parenting. May we assume the responsibility to provide biblical authority in the home. God, I pray that you'd bless every family represented in the room this morning. Lord, I pray that you would give them wisdom. And Lord, I pray that you would help them to have the hearts of their children, that they might turn those hearts to you. Lord, help us to raise a generation of people that fear God and want to live in a way that pleases and honors Him. Lord, I pray that we would model that this week. And I pray that you would honor and bless it. Bless every family here today and honor them with favor this week, I pray in Jesus' name.